A hearty good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming. There's a great story of a nobleman who had to travel across the country, and it was his first time ever using a train. And he goes and he buys a ticket, and naturally, as they sell him the ticket, they take a look at what he's wearing, and they figure, you know, he probably wants to ride in the best car of the train, and they give him a blue ticket. And he pays for it, everything's great. He gets onto the train, he doesn't know anything from the front car to the back car, he doesn't know first class, second class, he just gets on with everybody else. And as the conductor starts going around to punch the tickets, everybody's pulling out their tickets, and the nobleman suddenly gets very nervous because he sees that he's carrying a blue ticket, and all the peasants who are near him are carrying red tickets. And he gets very nervous, so he asks somebody next to him, you know, what's the deal with the red ticket, the blue tickets? And the peasant figures, you know, I'll have some fun with this nobleman. Finally, I'll be better than him. He tells him, sir, you didn't pay enough money. You have the wrong color ticket. A blue ticket? You're going to get in big trouble. The conductor's going to come along, and he starts being very graphic, and he's going to throw you off the train, and it's really bad. And the nobleman starts really getting nervous. And it's his first time on a train. He doesn't know what to do with himself. So the peasant says, I have a great idea. We're going to put you underneath the bench. And when the conductor comes around, he's not going to see you. We're going to block you with our feet. And he won't see you. And you'll be able to, you know, they're not going to catch you. So the nobleman climbs underneath. It's really hard. Never did anything like this. He climbs underneath, and the peasants line up in front of him, blocking him with their feet and kicking him a little bit by mistake. And he's there, shaking, shivering, as the conductor comes around screaming, tickets, tickets! And he punches the tickets. And suddenly he notices that there's someone hiding. So the conductor bellows, you under the seat, you better come out right away! The nobleman's so frightened, he manages to come out, shaking. And the conductor, where's your ticket? And he pulls out his ticket, you know, what he thinks is the inferior ticket. And the conductor looks at him and says, you crazy person! A blue ticket! You paid for the best car! You could be there, they would be feeding you food as we travel, and instead, not only are you with the peasants, but you're under the bench of the peasants! We use this as an illustration of what happens if we don't do our research. If a Jew doesn't do their research as to what a Jewish marriage could be, then not only do you end up in the peasant car, thinking that marriage is whatever they think it is on the street, but you get it, you're underneath and they're kicking you, and you don't have a clue what the real potential of a marriage could be. We begin with the most fundamental concept of a Jewish marriage. And that is that we're dealing with two individuals, two separate people. Rabbi Yisrael Miller has a beautiful essay which he titled, Strangers in Marriage. People think that because we call each other soulmates, somehow, we're going to all just, everything's going to go smoothly. And there are going to be no bumps, and we're always going to see eye to eye. You know, when people date, they look for very superficial things that they have in common. We both like skiing. Wow! You know, when there are three kids crying, you tell me what the fact that we both like skiing is going to do you. it's good as a catalyst to get the relationship going. But ultimately, the recognition that they're two different people, totally different people. Take a look at the first quote. It's a verse in Tehillim, in Psalms. Hashem places individuals into a home.
What is the
pasuk
in Hebrew?
Elokim moshev yechidim baisa. Hashem takes yechidim, it's even more pronounced in the Hebrew, really. Yachid is an individual, an independent person. And that's really what our goal is. We view each spouse as powerful energy, as an individual. And then when you put them together, the sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Shamshon Raphael Hirsch has a very interesting perspective on the relationship of husband and wife, which he bases on the pasuk Ezer Kenegdo, the famous pasuk in Bereishis when Hashem creates woman. The translation, the Ezer Kenegdo is what?
Help me opposite.
Very good. See, everybody laughs when they hear that. The definition of marriage is that you're going to get a helpmate who opposes you. Boy. Right? A helpmate who is different than you. Rabbi Shamshon Raphael Hirsch writes that the word ozer in the text, in the context of ezer kenegdo, is the same word as otzar, to hold back, to refrain, to be controlled. He says that there are two ways that you could help somebody. We could either help somebody by doing the same exact thing together, or we can have a division of responsibilities. Picture, for example, if we wanted to change this room so that we could have a kiddush here or something. So we're going to have to move the chairs to the side, we're going to have to move the tables to the side, and then we have to vacuum. So some people who have trouble being sophisticated, they think that we each have to take the same chair together, and we each have to take the table together, and then we all have to vacuum together. And someone who's more sophisticated understands that they're going to be people who right away, they're going to have an atiyah, a leaning to grab the chairs, and in 4 seconds flat, all the chairs are lined up on the side. There are other two people, I don't know how well you have to work together to take two sides of a table, but there are going to be people who are able to work together and each one is going to grab the sides of the table. Right? Baruch, grab it with me, let's go. And they'll do it. And there's someone else who's going to have the initiative to grab the vacuum. We don't have to do it all together. One of the myths that street culture has put upon us is that to be equal and to be respected, everything has to be tit for tat. And a Jewish marriage doesn't work like that. A Jewish marriage works on enormous respect that you have talents and I have talents and we're going to work on it together. The joke, of course, is that the Jewish marriage is the only kibbutz that really works. A kibbutz theory was everybody contributes according to his ability and takes according to his needs. The only place that that really happens, right? I mean, communism failed. There are one or two kibbutzim left that are working. Basically, it's the Jewish marriage that works like that. You contribute according to your ability, you take according to your needs. And people are different. They're individuals. They're not expected to be the same. The helpmate that's different than him, and the way she helps you is not by doing everything together. The way they help each other is division of responsibility. You have to be flexible, especially in today's society, but basically, there is this concept that one person is going to be better or worse at different things.